You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hena Baba. The Stud is a queer bar in San Francisco with a long and storied history. It was founded in 1966, the same year as the historic Compton's Cafeteria Riot in the Tenderloin, 3 years before the Stonewall Uprising in New York. It survived the AIDS crisis, the dot-com boom and bust and boom again, all the while building a reputation as a quirky, welcoming place for all visitors. In July 2016, the Stud's landlord nearly tripled its rent, and it seemed like its days were numbered. Then, a new kind of entity stepped in to save the bar, an 18-member collective formed to buy the business, renegotiate the lease, and keep the spirit of the Stud going in a city where more and more queer bars are closing. The collective has now been running the bar for a little over a year. We talked to a few of the worker owners about what saving the Stud means to them.
I grew up in San Francisco, and I think my earliest memory of the Stud was as a child. I don't even know exactly how old I was, but I remember driving by it and seeing this big rainbow flag right off the freeway and knowing that that was a place where gay people went and just being in awe of that and finding it a little bit scary or a little bit intimidating, but also a little bit exciting.
My name is Honey Mahogany, and I am a co-owner at The Stud.
My name is Micah Sigourney, also known as Vivian Forevermore, and I am a worker owner at The Stud Bar.
My name is Rachel Ryan, and I am one of the co-owners of The Stud. I also grew up in San Francisco, and my dad's business is based in SoMa, and so the bars of SoMa were always kind of this interesting character in my childhood of walking by the Eagle with my family on a Sunday and like seeing all the leather daddies or getting off the freeway and seeing that Stud sign. When I grew up, the first place that I really felt like was my corner of the world was definitely the Stud. As a queer person who dates men and women, it felt very welcoming to me, whereas I've been in lesbian bars in the past that hadn't felt as good. Straight bars have never felt good for me. So the Stud had that homey feel.
When I grew up and started performing in drag, the Stud was one of the first places in San Francisco that I gravitated towards because, you know, I mean, there was Tranny Shack, this rich history of San Francisco drag. I wanted to be a part of that and grow within that space. The Stud really was, I found, the most welcoming gay bar in San Francisco. It was the most casual, the most inclusive, and like, you know, as a Black femme person, that was a welcoming space for me.
I was throwing a weekly party at the Stud called Club Something that was about a 7 or 8 year run of a weekly Friday night show. We were one of the few regular parties at the Stud. And so like my whole previous like 9, 8 years had been wrapped up in being at the Stud and like producing events there and growing as an artist. There was a meeting held by Michael, the previous owner. He announced that the rent was going to triple and that the Stud would have to close. And I immediately thought to myself, oh, I have to move to LA now with all like 25 of your friends who have left over the past 5 years.
I think when we heard that the landlord was raising the rents, that we knew that it was only a matter of time before the Stud was going to announce that it closed. There was this sense of panic, I think, because I think that it finally made things real, that our city was changing and that, you know, if we didn't do something to stop some of these changes, that we could lose some of our favorite things about San Francisco.
Watching other queer spaces close, watching Esta Noche, watching the Lex close, realizing that, you know, the queer mecca of the world doesn't have a lesbian bar anymore. They were eye-opening experiences, and they started the conversations that we had.
At that point, we weren't a business. We were a group of people wanting to try to save a place from closing. We weren't wealthy in money, which seems to be a main thing you need these days, is money. But we knew that we were wealthy in the resources of like friends and social networks. And a cooperative is a business model that has multiple bottom lines, and one of those things is prioritizing the people as opposed to just the profits.
I always refer to the Stud Collective as sort of like a Mighty Ducks crew of like ragtag Disney feel-good movie of underdogs from different persuasions. But we took over a bar with very few people who had actual bar experience.
We've actually done a pretty damn good job considering that we are 18 very strong personality type people.
We have somebody who's, you know, a biostatistician. We have a VP from Levi's. We have performers and DJs, but I was proud of the way that we actually banded together and like put a kind of unexpected skill set into actually running a business and a bar, which was not something that we had a lot of experience with.
Coming at it from this idea that we were going to save the stud together as a community, we valued each other's voices through the process. And I think that allowed us to put our egos aside and to really sort of squelched any, I think, conflicts that was arising. Yes, we had heated moments in meetings, but I've been a part of a lot of collaborative processes. And I will say that the stud has by far been the easiest one. I feel like being the hub of the tech industry, there is this culture of finding, you know, investors or venture capitalists and then creating a business and then selling that business to make money. And a lot of the things that I find really important are not necessarily things that are going to make a ton of money, but I think that they are still extremely important.
It was announced July 4th that the stud's going away, and then Donald Trump was elected. And that was like a 1-2 punch. And then we purchased a month and a half later. And so being able to succeed in that moment, like in this moment of like total political turmoil, downturn, and fear for the safety of queer people of color, like gender nonconforming people, and know that we in some way have like made a tiny step towards preserving a space that is about safety and bravery for the myriad of identities of the people who come through our doors. That felt to me both personally and politically really important.
I think that using the collective power of a community to leverage and influence local governments and also banding together resources in order to save cultural institutions that we find really important is really going to be a key way for us to move forward as a city.
For me, one of the moments that stands out in the last year, it's kind of cheeseball, but we had a little stud family toast on New Year's Eve, which was our 1-year anniversary. And just having that moment and like marking it with this group of people that we went through this crazy journey with was just so special to like all be together celebrating the fact that we made it through our first year.